Thanks to Clint Capella for stopping by. Mike was asking about wins, total wins. The over-under's 35, I think 35 and a half.
Oh, that's got a very familiar ring to it.
It does. It does. But John Collins is not here, and he's not going to take anything to ruin your season.
All right, real quick. You know when I'm in Caesar's Palace, and my wife's like, you're not putting $5,000 on the Hawks to win 36 games. I go, I'm doing it. And, you know, I told you, they take that action, and the guy goes to the boss, you know, the guy's running the sports book. He goes, oh, love that bet. That's a great bet. And I'm literally looking at my wife like, you know, it's like, ha-ha, you see?
Come on, man. Yeah, it was. I mean, at the time, it was a good bet.
And the only reason, by the way, is not like I saved up $5,000 and went to Vegas and said that was my mission. No, I just happened to get lucky at a craps table. And then, you know, like, again.
Reinvest.
Not exactly. Again, it makes still sort of a stupid idea. But again, that was one that was literally money in the bank.
Well, it was until John Collins got suspended that year. And then
25 games.
Your disdain for John Collins started at that moment. It was unbelievable.
I mean, I know, look, I wish I had bigger shoulders too, John. But I mean, you know, geez, Louise, that wrecked me.
Yeah.
Anyway, but hopefully this year, you know, that's why I said to you maybe 40 wins. I'm not betting it. I'm not touching the Hawks with a 10-foot pole.
No, listen, I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't go over 35. There's no doubt. Guys, I know it hasn't felt like it, but they've been in the play-in, which is the playoffs, mm-hmm. the last few years. But we need to be one of these top seeds. And if you're legitimate, you're going to be a top six seed, Mike. And that's part of this. We will see. Hawks season starts tomorrow, as we'll talk more about that. Coming up in 20 minutes, less than that now, 15 actually, Mike Conti's going to join us. He is up in Montreal, Atlanta United. Do you believe? I'm shocked, but I'll take it. And let's see what happens from here. If they win tonight, then they'll go on to play Miami. We'll see what happens. But Mike Conti will lay everything out for us as the game will be right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're done at 6:30. Pre-game starts at 6:30. And also coming up, Robert Horry at 40 after the hour. Mike, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 championships.
I want to say, yeah, look it up.
For Robert Horry, brought to you by Bet Online. We'll talk to him about the start of the NBA season, which actually starts tonight. Hawks open tomorrow. NBA starts tonight. So we'll talk to Robert Horry coming up. Right now, though, let's get to an NFL Blitz. Oh, he'd be mad at me because I left off a ring. Seventh ring for Robert Horry. Mike, so a couple of interesting things going on around the league, right? I mean, first of all, we've gotten to that point where a ton of injuries are affecting the National Football League. And some of these, you're not replacing Aiden Hutchinson. You're not replacing, if Mike Evans is out for a long period of time, you're not replacing him, Tampa Bay. I mean, like, there are things that are going on. And by the way, Godwin had surgery today.
Yep.
He's out.
Brandon Ayuk for the 49ers.
Huge. So all of these injuries now, and this is the thing that nobody has control over, and we know it happens periodically throughout the course of a season. How do you overcome this, Mike? This changes the course of a season. It just does.
I mean, we've talked about it before. There's just when you have skill set guys like that, and Godwin and Evans, we said they're one of the great tandems in the NFL. And Baker, part of the reason he got paid is he had great guys to throw to.
That's right.
You know, and Canales got a job because he figured it out to get them the ball, right? But it just, yeah, you just don't replace that kind of talent. You can't imagine having. I'm not even going to say it. Cause I don't even want to put it in my mouth. But you know, losing some of our guys that we depend on to get the ball down the field.
By the way, it's not an injury, but Jameson Williams. What the hey is going on with this dude, man?
PEDs? Because it's a two-game suspension. He already had the suspension for gambling, which I know we've already covered that. I know even though the NFL's in bed with casinos, you still can't do it. They bird dog it, and he's already missed a lot of time. Tremendous talent. But,
he is.
Yeah.
He didn't have an impact this last game. I mean, they beat the Vikings basically without him, but the fact is he's become their down-the-field guy. He is going to be out for the next two games. So for you fantasy owners, and Mike, he's had a – it's kind of been, a star-crossed start to his career, right?
He just, you know, he should be opposite Amon-Ra St. Brown, the super, speaking of a dynamic duo that sort of complement each other in that passing game, and Goff has had the best four games. We saw that number yesterday. It's one of the great four-game splits in NFL history, what he's been able to accomplish. So, yeah, but that knucklehead's got to keep his head on straight. Crazy story. Now, I don't know, Chris, but the talkback's not working. Have you ever heard of Jack Settleman? I don't know who this is. You know, whenever you see stuff on social media, Carl, you go, all right, first of all, who's the source, right?
Right.
Guy's got 56,000 followers. It's called Snapback Sports. You ever heard of it? Me neither. He says the Rams and Vikings are in serious trade talks for Matthew Stafford.
Wow.
That's what I said. I mean, what? You're already, Darnold has one bet, well, one less than great half, and now you're cutting bait on Sam. I don't know where that's coming from. That's why I asked you if you ever heard of this dude.
No, I'm not either. That to me makes no sense at this particular point. But if anything, the Vikings are going to do two things, right? First of all, remember, we've forgotten because they play so well. They drafted J.J. McCarthy, okay?
Right.
He is going to be their future.
He's just sitting out this year with the injury.
And he played well in the preseason until he got hurt, and everybody was getting excited. And then here comes Sam Darnold, who, okay, he's serviceable. No, he's better than serviceable. Mike, they're in a really good spot. McCarthy is going to be back. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. And then you've got Darnold. If you want to pay him to keep him, it makes no sense to me to go and make this move.
The other thing is, we've got the trade deadline coming up in 2 weeks' time, thereabouts. I saw this on social media, and let me just run this one by. And
okay.
And this is one we could literally we can kick this around and have some fun.
All right.
The Browns are in a tough spot. Jameis is going to be taking over. Bailey Zappi's been added to the roster, the IR designation for Watson, who maybe his career is over in Cleveland, wherever it goes. Would you trade a package of draft picks and Michael Penix for Myles Garrett? If they ask for Michael Penix in a trade, just throwing it out there, guys, just spitballing, because I've seen this stuff last, like, you know, 2 or 3 days on Twitter or whatever, we don't call it X. But would you or you say no, they believed in him so much to do something which nobody in the league thought was supposed to have been done, which is sign Cousins and draft a quarterback, or would you say Myles Garrett is such a transformative piece that I can go find another quarterback in the draft down the road?
We going to Super Bowl this year?
It's about a 2 year, just maybe 3 years tops with window if Cousins can stay healthy. That would be the argument.
If you're not, then no.
Because if you do get, for instance, you know, Cousins right now, we're coming off a pretty poor performance. And I don't know, you know, you and I have debated. He's back, right? He's back. This is just a crap week for the Falcons. But either way, if Cousins continues to establish himself, last week aside, then you don't even see Penix probably till his fourth year. If Cousins actually, what if Cousins throws for, like, just for argument's sake, 4,000 yards next year? You going to cut bait on him? That's the argument. That's what always made it so strange about the Penix dynamic. Guys, I like Penix. I think he's going to be a star in this league. I'm just asking the question. I'm not making a judgment on it. But Myles Garrett, for a team which is the worst team in the NFL for rushing a passer, if that was something that would come up in a discussion, I'd certainly kick the tires.
Here's the issue with it, though, to the Falcons' point. And the way this season is going, we will not be in the top 10 again. Okay? Not this year. Maybe not next year. Right. To your point, if things are going the way that you're talking about, then when are you drafting the next quarterback?
Right.
And this is why they did what they did in that moment, because this belief that you can go pick a third rounder, Desmond Ridder, is not realistic. And by the way, the Raiders are going to pick up Ridder. He's about to be a Raider here as a backup. But, Mike, that becomes the issue. So you can say, well, of course I'd go get Myles Garrett. But we can just find another guy. We can find another quarterback. When are you going to do that?
And that was the logic when we talked to Terry the day after the draft, you know, as we were into Friday, after the draft on Thursday night, was everything Carl just said. We'll never be in a position because, look, how much we wanted Jaden Daniels. There was an impossibility. Nobody was going to come off Jaden Daniels. Nobody was going to come off any of those top picks.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the argument, and we've already seen the other side of it, to your point about Ridder and trying to find, you know, take a flyer on somebody late.
It is interesting, though. Hey, Brian Daboll says Daniel Jones will remain his starting quarterback ahead of Drew Lock. He didn't have any success on Sunday either. They got beat down by the Eagles. The Giants offense is just pathetic right now. The defense is halfway decent, but they're on the field a lot. Giants play on the road again against the Steelers next Monday night, but apparently it is still going to be Daniel Jones.
Yeah, and just when you thought he was sort of coming out and looking pretty, you know, decent numbers, he's kind of top 10 there for a couple of weeks, right?
He did.
But, you don't feel it. And they also miss Saquon. I mean, all that offseason with the Giants on Hard Knocks and them going round and round, if you have a mediocre quarterback, you need a really good running back. I mean, that's not that complicated, right? Other stories, and you and I were joking around about this off the air yesterday. I mean, you got Antonio Pierce, who's an OG, saying, my team is weak. Business decisions. Now you got Gerard Mayo going, my team is soft. But then guess who pops off and says, not so fast.
Oh, this is a really good team defensively, a run defense. And you can't say they're soft.
He's going to chime in, huh?
Yeah. I'm just busy antiquing right now in Nantucket with my young girlfriend, but we were not soft.
I'm a little surprised, Bill, that thing has still lasted as long
as it has. Hello, everyone. Surprised to see me here?
Yes, I am.
Well, I use the code Andy, and I get the Blue Chew.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That's a big game changer.
That makes total sense, Coach. I get it. I'm going to be with Gerard May on this. They are soft. They're soft. The Patriots are soft.
That's it's just there's certain teams, and you and I have mentioned, the Raiders are really tough to watch right now, right, with the exception maybe of the time if the ball gets anywhere near Brock Bowers.
Have you tried the Blue Chew?
Not yet. Not yet. Becky and I have got a trip coming up. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Somebody watching the dog. You know, the dog's always in the bedroom.
A friend of mine. Yeah. Friend of mine told a golf buddy.
Yeah.
He is younger. I think he's dating. No.
Somebody younger's got to step it up?
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yes, correct. And he was the one who told me about this whole thing. And I was like, right. What? And he was like, it's different.
Now that.
I was like, what do you mean it's different? Yeah,
what do you mean different? So then he says to me,
true story here. He says, you want some? And I said, wait a minute. It's not prescribed. He's like, it's not a big deal. You can try it. You can try it. So to your point, right. I'm not either, but right. It's there for me too if okay. I want to.
I need a sit rep on that. That's what that's all about.
Yeah.
Then I saw some ad on TV watching the NFL.
I'll try anything once.
There's something else they've added. Now it's apparently kind of a lotion.
What?
That you apply directly.
I don't know if that's going to help.
I just saw the ad for it. Have you guys seen the ad for this thing yet?
It's a lotion?
It's apparently you just apply liberally and you go to work.
Isn't that always the case?
Just telling you. We're speaking in code for kids in the car right now. Yeah, I'm just. But anyway.
Right. Andy, I just had to ask.
No.
My buddy was like, yo, that's how he said it. Literally, he looked at me and goes, it's different. I said, okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, generally, I don't need anything to last for more than 7 minutes, if I'm honest, man. But that's me.
You know what? When I was young. Yeah,
right.
Now that we're in this conversation, when I was young, I want to go all day.
Right. Now
I'm sorry. I'm just telling the truth. Now, can we just, like.
I just want to watch TV and go back to sleep.
All right, where were we? Sorry.
On that note, sorry, kids.
Sorry.
But yes, so when it comes
sometimes we go down these roads.
We're just talking about Belichick. Meanwhile, Aaron Rodgers blames himself for a bad decision.
15 minutes?
On game. Yeah.
20.
Thereabouts.
25?
Well, is that including the preamble there?
It depends. And then, you know, of course, mental acuity. You've got to obviously think about math problems and old third baseman on your old team. So maybe, you know, keep yourself going there.
Here's the deal.
Keep your mind off the task in some cases.
Here's the deal. Then I got to be quiet, turtle. Just talk back. I can't hear anything you're saying. Here's the deal. Women always say that they don't.
No.
But they don't. They're not telling us the truth.
It's true.
They're not telling us the
truth. For years, Becky, I shaved my head, for instance, right? And I go, Becky, you're cool with me shaving my head? Oh, yeah. And if I get hair back, I really like you better with hair. So what the hell? Got a picture. We got married in Jamaica.
Six years. She didn't tell you.
Shaving my head down in Jamaica. I could have kept my hair for the wedding pictures.
They don't tell you. You know? They don't tell you. All right.
Now, there's a story I've told you I can't tell on the air right now, but sometimes I say, just get it over with. Anyway, there it is, Carl. There's your NFL Blitz with some lifestyle thrown in as a little floater on top.
Why not, man? It's Tuesday. Dogs are off. I mean, come on. We ain't got nothing else to do. Hey, man, coming up, Mike Conti's going to join us.
Yes.
And we will talk about Atlanta United.
In Montreal.
And there are chances to win tonight in advance. Next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is Dukes and Bell. We need to head to Montreal. That's where we find our own Mike Conti, who's getting ready for tonight's contest. A big matchup in the MLS. And Mike Conti, thank you for jumping on with us. Quick turnaround. I think first and foremost, before we talk about tonight's game and all that, a lot of fans right now are like, how did we get here? It felt like Atlanta United had no shot. And then all of a sudden, here we are talking about a chance to not only play in this wild card round, but advance and potentially play against Miami. How did we get here?
Yeah, and I think there were some fans who probably just stopped paying attention because it looked like it just wasn't going to happen. But essentially, Carl, the chips had to fall in an exactly perfect order for Atlanta United last Saturday to get in. They needed to win at Orlando, which was tough to begin with. Orlando, the hottest team in the league since the start of July. Then you needed two of three things to happen elsewhere. You needed Philadelphia, who was at home, to lose, and they did. And you needed D.C., who was at home, to lose, and they did. And that was the magic combination that put Atlanta United in. They had only a 10% probability entering last Saturday of being able to get the results they needed. In fact, I think I saw somewhere the parlay card, the three-team parlay was 60-1 for that combination of results to occur. And here's Atlanta United. They're in it now. They had to create a little bit of their own luck. As I said, they played very well in Orlando. They got a big win right before the international break at home against New York Red Bulls, which is a team they have had historically a lot of trouble with. So they've gotten a little bit warm here down the stretch. Now, on very short rest, they have to play their old buddy Joseph Martinez tonight. And Montreal did not have to travel on Saturday, and they obviously didn't have to travel today.
And, Mike, Joseph had a pretty good day against us last time we played, right?
If it weren't for Joseph, this game would be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium tonight. You're exactly right, Mike, because on October the 2nd, when these teams played in Atlanta, Joseph scored twice. Montreal won the game 2-1, and that was essentially the tiebreaker. Montreal with three more points than Atlanta. So if Atlanta had won that match or if they had played to a draw, we'd all be sitting in Atlanta right now getting ready for a playoff game. Instead, we're up here.
It's Mike Conti joining us from Montreal, guys. Our coverage begins at 6:30 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So the previous meetings, right, we've seen them. They beat us, 1-0, 1-0, 1-0. And then in the second one, you're talking about Joseph having the two goals. How do we neutralize that? What's going to be the game plan going into this?
Really great question. I think you have to throw out what happened here in July because you had a red card. Steven Gregerson was thrown out of the game at halftime, and I think anyone will tell you red cards, they change matches in such a way that you can't even really analyze what to do and not do based on that type of performance. In fact, I think actually Atlanta played a little better after the red card in that match for what it's worth. But, you know, as far as that game a couple weeks ago where Joseph went off, how do you neutralize it? It's a great question. I asked Rob Valentino that question on the plane yesterday. He said they'll probably try to do one or two things a little bit different tactically to try to address the threat of Joseph, also address the threat of Caden Clark, who's been giving Joseph a lot of service from the wing. Clark is someone that they brought in from Minnesota during the summer transfer window, and that was a brilliant pickup for them. They're going to have to deal with Saliba in the midfield, who Rob thought was their most dangerous player on October the 2nd in Atlanta. So they have the targets picked out. I think they are not expecting any kind of tactical surprises either way in this game because both teams have had such a short amount of time to prepare. So ultimately, what it's just going to come down to is you got to mark Joseph better. Remember, on one of the goals that Joseph scored against Atlanta, on October the 2nd, there was a marking error and a set piece involving Daniel Rios. So they've identified it. They've identified those errors. Hopefully now they won't repeat it.
It's our man, Mike Conti, up in Montreal. Oh, we're going to talk about that steak you had last night coming up here in a minute. I know I've asked you this off the air, so let me ask you on the air. I know they maybe want to get a high-profile coach. We've had really mixed results with some high-profile coaches. Why don't they just stick with Rob Valentino? Because he seems to have a good rapport with the players, speaks a number of languages, seems like they like him.
Yeah, I think Rob is making the decision a little bit harder the further this thing goes. I think there was a mindset maybe even two or three weeks ago that Rob would finish out the season and then you would probably see a decision made on a new coach pretty quickly. Well, the longer this thing goes, I think the more Rob puts himself in contention to keep the job. You're right. Players love and respect him. He's extremely well-respected around the league. He told me he had 80 text messages after the game on Saturday from different people around the soccer community congratulating him and reaching out to him. So a very popular guy, well respected. Mike, I'll throw this statistic at you. Rob Valentino, this is his second run as an interim manager, and he has managed 30 matches across all competitions coming into tonight. And he's 10-10-10. So, you know, now considering
the definition of mediocrity, right?
But, you know, he had to do a lot of that without two designated players this year. Right. He was rebuilding from the ashes of what Heinze did to that team in 2021. So these were tough hands that he was dealt, and he at least has been able to maintain a 500 record, if you will. I know there's no such thing as 500 in soccer, but 10-10-10. Right. So I think, you know, that's the evaluation you have to make. It can be very easy to get caught up in the short-term excitement of what Atlanta United has done right now. And for the record, I am rooting for Rob Valentino like heck to get his job. He's been great with Jason and I, very accessible, well-liked around the club. I really want him to get it. I think they're going to have to make a pretty deep run for him to get it. I still think some other coaches are under consideration.
All right, so here's what gives me confidence, Mike. And Mike Conte and Jason will have the call for you tonight. We're coming off of back-to-back road wins for the first time since June. If that doesn't give this team confidence, then what does, right? I mean, you've done something now that you hadn't done in a very long time. You got to feel good about heading into the night.
I'm not worried about confidence at all, Carl. And in fact, more so, I love the fact that you have a team tonight that has a ton of playoff experience. And that starts with the spine of your team and your goalkeeper, who's won an MLS Cup, and your center backs who have played in big matches, and your midfield, and you go all the way through the spine of the team, and you have a lot of players going out for Atlanta United tonight who have been in playoff games, who were in that playoff series last year against Columbus, who have been in playoff series dating all the way back to, as I said, Brad in 2018 with that run. I don't worry about confidence at all. I worry about legs. That is the big thing that concerns me, because you can say all you want that Montreal also had to play on Saturday and they're also on short rest, but Montreal did not have to travel Saturday night and they did not have to travel again yesterday. That concerns me. I really feel like Atlanta United has got to strike quickly tonight, get something in the first 15 minutes, and if they don't, you might be in a position where you have to change your mentality a little bit and sit back, absorb pressure, try to hit them on a counter. Because here's the thing, after 90 minutes of this game is tied, they don't go to extra time tonight, they go straight to penalties.
Right.
And I don't want to necessarily roll the dice in a penalty shootout, but all you have to do is get to the end of 90 minutes even to have that kind of puncher's chance in a shootout. Not saying they'll play for that tonight, but if they don't get something early, I think they're going to have to be very pragmatic and very, very careful because the legs could start to fail them at any point.
All right, Mike, before we cut you loose, and again, the winner gets to take on the best team in MLS, and that's Inter Miami, and you get to see Messi at least once because it's a best of three. But let's talk about the most important thing. One of the great food cities in North America, one of the best steaks. They got different rules up there in Canada, Carl, and I've been told that what the cows eat make for better tasting meat. How was that steak? Where'd you go? What's it all about?
So first of all, that is absolutely right. The Quebec beef, the AAA Quebec beef, yes. As they say in California, happy cows make good food.
Right.
And the happy cows up here make good steak. So we found a steak Fried's place, and Steak Shapiro will talk to you about this, Mike. You've probably been to some of these in your travel, where basically you get a cut of beef and you pick your sauce. I picked this house sauce last night. It was like a Dejeuner's, and they just keep bringing out fries.
Yes.
You know, they keep bringing out the shoestring French fries. And,
you get some poutine? Some poutine?
I did the poutine upgrade, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think you have to when in Rome. So it was just a delightful meal with some Quebec beef and had a really good time with a lot of folks from the team. They joined us. It was right across from the hotel. Mike, I'll tell you, it would be a great day for you to be up here because not only is Atlanta United up here tonight, the New York Rangers are staying in our hotel as well.
No way! Oh, that's too cool, man.
And actually, I think this could help Atlanta United tonight because, first of all, they got a huge break on the weather. It's warm. 75 degrees here today, and the Canadians are hosting the Rangers tonight, so I don't think we're going to have a very big crowd at the stadium. Two breaks potentially for Atlanta United on the road.
Very cool.
Mike Conte, we look forward to hearing your call. Jason Longshore as well. Coverage starts at 6:30, guys, and they will have all of the action at 7:30. Can't wait to see what happens with Atlanta United. Hopefully we're playing and moving on against Miami. Thanks so much, Mike.
Hope so, too. See you guys. Take care.
All right.
Thanks,
good
brother.
Stuff.
Yeah, anytime one of those original six matchup, you know, when there's a Red Wings, Canadians, Bruins, I mean, it just gets the Maple Leafs, it's more juice. So that's great. Maybe that's good. Maybe you'll see a half-empty house and no vibe, and we go get a win.
That's interesting. All right, man. Coming up, Robert Horry, seven-time NBA champion's going to join us. Brought to you by Bet Online. We'll talk to him about the start of the NBA season next. It is Dukes and Bell coming up. We're going to talk about the Dogs. They get some time to get some things together, specifically the passing attack, man. It's got to get better. We'll talk about that coming up at 4 o'clock. But we got to talk some hoops because the NBA starts tonight. Believe it or not, it is back. The Hawks have their home opener tomorrow against Brooklyn. And we talked to Clint Capella earlier. Tonight, we got a couple of games. It is the Knicks and Celtics, T-Wolves and Lakers. And by the way, I love Ant-Man. I think he's going to be the face of the NBA, Mike. Had a great Olympics. He's just that charismatic. And I expect the T-Wolves, you know, they made the deal and traded away Karl-Anthony Towns, but I expect them to still do a lot of damage in the West.
They had some cap issues. They had to kind of make that move, yeah.
Yeah, those are the two games tonight, by the way. And then tomorrow, another, you know, full slate of games, including our Hawks. Let's talk to Robert Horry, man. Friend of the show. He's brought to you by Bet Online. And, Robert, it's good to have you back on the show. I'm curious, and I want to start with the Lakers, because everybody's talking about Bronny and all this. Realistically, what kind of impact is he going to have? What are we talking about with Bronny and the Lakers?
You know what? He can't make an impact because he's not. There's no room for him on the team. You know, and you think about who's in front of him. Everybody in front of him is better. So I think it's one of those things that most GMs are moving towards. Is, you know, the potential of players, and I think they see that he has some potential. So they're going to try to groom him to be, you know, whatever player they want him to be. So there's no impact there. Now you're talking about Ricky making an impact. It's going to be Connect.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think we love the fact that, you know, you get to see something we never seen with a father playing with a son, Robert. But, I mean, if you're working on the merit system, it seemed like it was a bit of a stretch, a leap of faith to put this deal together.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch. You know, I've been seeing Bronny play for a long time because his son and my son, you know, they're rival schools, Harvard, Westlake, Sierra Canyon. So I've been watching him play for a long time. So I know he has athletic ability, but he still has to be, you know, turned into an NBA player. He's not there yet.
How's your boy doing, by the way?
He's doing great. He's over at UCLA. You know, Cronin is, you know, kicking their butts every day.
Yeah.
So every time I talk to him, he's tired. So I said, welcome to the life of a college athlete.
No doubt. Mick Cronin, the coach at UCLA. It is Robert Horry. All right, Robert, let's start in the Eastern Conference. Celtics, obviously defending champs. I don't think there's any fall off there, but it's always hard to defend. You know what that's like. Talk to us about what you think that's going to look like. And then who are the legitimate contenders, in your opinion, as the season gets underway in the Eastern Conference?
You know, you look at the East, you know, everybody says it's the, you know, defending champions title to take. And it is in this case because they're going to need Porzingis to stay healthy. If Porzingis can stay healthy, they got an excellent shot to be repeat. Because the thing about it that doesn't get talked enough about the Celtics is their defensive roster. You know, you think about Holiday, you think about White, you think about, you know, all those guys. I'm not even mentioning the guys who potentially be MVP players in the whole entire league, but you got the little guys like that that does so much for the team and defensively. And they play very well together. I know everybody's going to talk about the chip that Tatum has on the shoulder, but that has nothing to do with anything because NBA basketball, Olympic basketball is two different things. And outside of that, you know, the Sixers I thought would be have a shot at, fighting for the title, but Paul George can't stay healthy. Embiid can't stay healthy. And then you roll over to the Milwaukee Bucks. It's just like, are they ready, though? You know, it seemed like after they won that one championship, they got high on the hog and was never to do anything else again. So it's the Celtics to win in the East and OKC to win in the West. And that's how it's going to roll down in my book.
Obviously, Robert Horry, Knicks fans are feeling that they've made the moves. Carl alluded to it. Cat coming over there. Michael Bridges. They got a great backcourt. They got all Villanova on that team. But do you think it's all hype, or you think they will push the Celtics for the East?
Well, I think they will push the Celtics for the East, but I think it's still, you know, how do they play together? Think about it. When you add two dynamic pieces like Bridges and Cat, will Cat get the same touches he got in Minnesota? You know, will Bridges be okay with just playing defense like a bigger Josh Hart? You know, people don't understand there's a mental part of this game that comes into effect. And when you're not happy, mentally you check out, mentally you make mistakes, and mentally it just doesn't work for you. And you got to wait to the first 10 to 15 games to see if this Cat and Brunson deal will work out.
It is Robert Horry joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we talk about potential MVPs, what are you looking at as we get the season started? I mean, you know, it's easy to just say, all right, it's going to be somebody that we've expected. But what about the unexpected? Like, I was just talking about Ant-Man. I mean, like, somebody's going to step up and have, I think, a really incredible season. He's one of those candidates that I'm looking at as potential MVP candidate. What about you?
You know, for me, I think Ant-Man has a great ability to win MVP, but I think people remember stuff. And Ant-Man has talked about these legends, if some of these legends get votes.
Yes.
And so they're not going to vote for him. I think Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will win MVP this year because, you know, he was right there knocking on the door last year. And I think their team is going to be better than they were last year. So when you win, you know, unless your name is Jason Tatum, you get talked about as an MVP candidate.
Robert, it's true. Robert, let me ask you, do you think this whole notion that, like, Luka's out of shape, he's fat, or however it's being phrased, you know, coming into last season, he said he needed to get in better shape, and he did, and they went a long way. But, like, how much does that go against him ultimately living up to his potential as good as he is?
I think a lot of it goes down to his attitude on the court. He gets a lot of texts, and the NBA, you know, they don't want that. And then also, he doesn't play no defense. He got exposed so much in the NBA Finals, you know, just like, you know, Rudy Gobert got exposed. It's so many things that the NBA is like, you know, they're going to look at him like, well, we can't give it to him because he's not, you know, that quote-unquote two-way player. He cries a lot. There's so many things that can, you know, knock him down a peg. And that's why, so you look at Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you look at guys like Jokic, they just play the game. You know, Giannis, Ant-Man, these guys just play the game without the antics of crying and getting texts. So I think that is one of the things. If he can cut that down and stay on the court and try to play a little defense, he might have a chance to win the MVP. The odds are 15-4 right now, but I'm taking 17-4 for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. I'm taking those odds.
It's a guy that we thought was going to be an MVP at one point, and that's our man, Trae Young. Now, we tried DeJounte Murray. It didn't work out. DeJounte's kind of like saying what went down behind the curtain now. He's telling people, Robert, what are we going to do here? We're, what, 35 wins is our over-under for the Hawks. We got a lot of new faces. We went with a French kid, Reece Hoshea, who looks like he's got potential. We just signed Jalen Johnson. Are we just going to be in that same locked-in play-in game, or you think we can make a run?
You know, the Hawks are one of those teams where you throw your hands up and like, I don't know what you're going to get out of this team. and because you think about it, you look at Trae, the way he's able to control a game. You look at Bogdanovic, the way he's able to shoot. And it's like Jalen Johnson, of course, you just mentioned, but they're missing some guys who can lock down defensively. Because at the end of the day, I know we love the three ball, and we talk about scoring. You know, you need someone to stop someone. And if you go down that roster, it's like, who on that team has a defensive mind? Maybe Larry Nance Jr.? You know, DeAndre Hunter, that's about it. And so, you know, I would say Clint Capella, but he's too old now. He can't block my shot. And so I just think these guys just need to get better defensively. You know, we talk about offense all the time, but you look at the Celtics. When they need to lock somebody down, what did Drew Holiday do? You know, what did Brown do? What did White do? They lock down people. So, and the Celtics, I mean, I'm sorry, the Hawks just don't have that.
Check out Bet Online for updated NBA odds, win totals, and player stats. All right, one last thing before we let you go. I love Kobe, obviously, and I was playing 2K24, which is the Kobe edition. I don't know if you're familiar with this, Robert. Maybe you are. And in this NBA 2K, there's Kobe moments, so you can go and relive moments that happened with the Lakers and Kobe. One of those moments is Kobe's 48-16 rebound game against the Kings. What do you remember about game four? Because you were there.
I mostly remember me.
You hit some big shots. You hit some big shots.
I mostly remember me. Now, you know what? I you know, it's always a happy, sad day when I pick up the 2K and look at him. And I'm like, man, you know, I had some great moments with him. You know, I think about just the moments he and I shared where we had a signal where I would jump out of bounds and throw him a long pass, and he either get a dunk or a layup and something of that nature. So it's just great when you can share moments of one of the great. I think about all the greats from Tim Duncan to Dream to Clyde. You know, think about the people I play with just to share moments with these guys who've made the Hall of Fame and helped me on my journey to 7 championships. Man, it was a miraculous run for me.
Yeah, that was a crazy series, by the way, that King series back in the early 2000s. Robert, man, we appreciate you stopping by, as always. Look forward to our visits during the season. NBA starts tonight, guys. Robert Horry, thanks so much.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
You too. You got it.
The new NBA 2K comes out.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I don't play it all the time, but when I do, it's like, Mike, it's like you're in a real game. The graphics are unbelievable, but right. This last year's version was Kobe on the cover, and you could go back and relive some of
his
great
teams,
moments.
Right.
And you get to play those teams. And so that's why I was saying, Robert Horry, by the way, he doesn't miss on that game.
No.
He doesn't miss.
That was kind of his thing. Seven rings, by the way, for Robert Horry. If we're going back to San Antonio, the Lakers you mentioned. By the way, a couple guys hitting this up says when it comes to defense, he's got to give love to Dyson Daniels. He will be our best defender.
I agree. I think Robert, again, with all due respect, is thinking about what we saw last year.
Right.
This team should be better defensively, Mike. And if it's not, then they got it all wrong.
And here we go again. Let's hope not. All starts tomorrow against Brooklyn.
All right, guys, coming up, Dog Report. Was it all his fault? We'll talk about it coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This hour brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors.